Welcome to episode 1327 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today, we're building on yesterday's conversation about human flourishing, how we're designed to thrive when we're rooted in God's law. Some years ago, a pastor friend of mine was leading a Bible study through Psalm 119, the longest psalm in Scripture, an acrostic poem of 176 verses, all celebrating God's law. One verse in particular stopped him cold. Verse 97.
Oh, how I love your law! I meditate on it all day long.
He looked up at his congregation and asked simply,
"Does anyone here love God's law?"
The silence was deafening. A few people shifted uncomfortably. One woman laughed nervously. Finally, an elderly gentleman in the back raised his hand and said,
"I suppose I'm supposed to, but I don't think I've ever actually felt that way about it."
That moment captures something crucial about spiritual malaise in the modern church. We have inherited a faith tradition that speaks constantly about grace, and rightly so. We have learned to see the law as something Christ fulfilled so we would be freed from it. We have been taught the law condemns and grace saves, that the Old Testament was preparation for the new, that we live under grace, not law. But somewhere in this theological inheritance, we have lost something vital. We have lost the ability to understand why David, a man after God's own heart, could genuinely delight in God's law. We have lost the capacity to see God's instruction not as a burden, but as a gift. And in losing that, we have lost access to a wellspring of joy and wisdom that the Psalms offer to those who have ears to hear. This is not a small thing. It is the difference between seeing obedience as grim obligation and seeing it as the natural overflow of love. It is the difference between viewing God's design for human life as restrictive and viewing it as liberating. It is the difference between a faith that feels like weight and a faith that feels like wings. This is a genuinely important question, and it cuts to something that troubles many modern Christians. How could David or anyone genuinely delight in the law? The law seems burdensome, restrictive, full of rules, full of thou shalt nots. We read Paul's struggles with the law in Romans and assume David's delight must have been either naive or culturally conditioned. Yet the Psalms suggest something different was happening in David's heart. David was not embracing the law as abstract legislation or as a moral burden to bear. He was delighting in the law as revelation, as God's self-disclosure. When the psalmist speaks of the law, he uses words like Torah, instruction, mitzvot, commandments, chukim, statutes, and edot, testimonies. Each of these carries the sense not of arbitrary rules, but of God's wisdom made visible. Consider Psalm 19, verses 7 to 11, which reveals David's actual experience.
The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb.
Notice the language. The law refreshes, makes wise, gives joy, provides light. It is not primarily a list of rules. It is a gift from God, a manifestation of his character, his wisdom, his care for his people. David delights in it the way you might delight in a love letter from someone you cherish. The delight is not in following instructions mechanically. It is in encountering the one who gave the instructions. This is the crucial distinction. David did not delight in obedience for its own sake. He delighted in the law as a revelation of God's nature and God's design for human flourishing. The law told him what God was like and what it meant to live in alignment with God's purposes. David was not alone. Throughout the Old Testament, we see this same posture toward the law. Ezra embodies this beautifully. When he arrives in Jerusalem and discovers that the people have not kept the law, he weeps and grieves. Not because he is a legalist enforcing arbitrary rules, but because he sees the people separated from God's design for their flourishing. His entire mission is rooted in love for God's instruction as a pathway to covenant faithfulness. Job, in the midst of his suffering, insists on his integrity in keeping God's law not as burden, but as the natural expression of his relationship with God. He says in chapter 23, verse 12 of the book that bears his name, "I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread." The Levites in Nehemiah 8 lead the people in confessing their sin and recommitting to the law. But the tone is not grim obligation. It is joy. The passage describes their celebration in Nehemiah 8, verse 10. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Even in the New Testament, we see this perspective preserved. Mary, Jesus' mother, is described as treasuring God's words in her heart. Simeon and Anna are portrayed as righteous and devout, keeping God's law not out of fear, but out of love and longing. And Jesus himself, in his Sermon on the Mount, does not abolish the law, but deepens it, showing that it was always meant to flow from transformed hearts, not merely constrain external behavior. So why do we moderns struggle to delight in the law the way David did? Several factors are at work. First, we have inherited a false dichotomy between grace and law. Paul's letters to the Romans and Galatians were written to specific communities struggling with specific heresies. The idea that Gentiles had to become Jewish, including circumcision and food laws, to be saved. Paul's polemic against works of the law was not a blanket rejection of God's instruction. It was a clarification that salvation comes through faith in Christ, not through earning God's favor through legal compliance. But we have often flattened this into, law is bad, grace is good. Law condemns, grace saves. This is a tragedy because it divorces us from what David knew, that God's law is itself a form of grace. It is God saying, here is how to live. Here is the path to genuine human flourishing. Here is what I desire for you. Second, we live in a culture of radical autonomy that makes obedience feel oppressive, especially in Western cultures. We are taught from childhood to be yourself, to follow your heart, to resist external constraints on our desires. The very idea that flourishing comes through alignment with an external standard, especially God's standard, feels like a violation of our freedom. We cannot imagine that the constraint itself might be liberating. David lived in a different world. He understood that human freedom is not the absence of all constraints, but freedom from the constraints that destroy us, sin, shame, death, and freedom for the good life that God designed. The law was not oppressive to him because he trusted that God's design was better than his own autonomous choices. Third, we have lost the connection between the law and God's character. For David, keeping the law was not about checking boxes. It was about imitating God, about becoming the kind of person whose character reflected God's character. When the law said, "Do not steal," David understood this as an expression of God's justice and respect for others' dignity. When it said, "Do not bear false witness," he saw God's commitment to truth. The law was never meant to be a bare set of rules. It was meant to be a window into God's heart. Fourth, we encounter the law disconnected from its purpose. When we read Leviticus in isolation, the dietary laws and ceremonial prescriptions seem arbitrary and burdensome. But in their original context, these were not random restrictions. They were pedagogical, designed to teach the people about holiness, about separation unto God, about the seriousness of covenant. They were also expressions of God's care. Many dietary restrictions protected health. When we encounter them without that context, we naturally recoil. Here is the profound insight. David's delight in the law was possible because he saw it as a revelation of God's love, not as a threat to his freedom. And this is precisely what we need to recover. This does not mean going back to keeping ceremonial law, but it does mean having a deeper understanding of the laws that remain binding on us, the Ten Commandments. It means recovering the posture David embodied, seeing God's instruction as gift rather than burden. Recognizing that genuine human flourishing comes through alignment with God's design, and understanding that obedience is the natural overflow of delighting in God himself. At some point, we will explore the enduring value of the ceremonial statutes, but not in this moment. When you truly love someone, their preferences become your delight. A parent's child gladly obeys because obedience is an expression of love. A spouse aligns with their partner's values not because they are forced to, but because they have chosen to make their partner's good their own good. This is what David knew. And this is what we are invited to recover. Not a grim legalism, but a joyful alignment with the one who loves us and knows better than we know ourselves what will make us truly alive. Father, like David, help us to delight in your standard for our thriving. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full, today.